I'm glad you're here with us this morning out from the Tiki Bar over here to Oyster Bay. We're glad that you're here with us and that you've chosen to come out and to be with us on this wonderful, beautiful day. A lot different than last week. We were kind of soaked to the bone. We got baptized whether we wanted to or not with the rain showers. I'm glad. Oh, hold on a second. Y'all excuse me for a second. Okay, good. Good. All right. Everything's wonderful. You know what? Y'all look so good this morning. You care if I put you on Facebook? Any wanted criminals? Okay, Mike, you're the only wanted criminal. Okay. Let's get that up. Oh, good-looking crowd over here. Wow. Do you mind if I go ahead and put that up right now? You ever had that happen to you? I mean, folks, you're there with somebody, and all of a sudden they pull out the phone, and they're getting text, and all of a sudden the attention goes to the phone. Or the conversation lags at the dinner table. Out comes the phone, and they begin to laugh because they're on Facebook, stuff like that. Man, technology has kind of taken over, hadn't it? I mean, where would we be without our cell phones attached to our hip? Most of the time, they're attached to our ears or our eyes or our thumbs, isn't it? Now, don't get me wrong. Social media has some amazing benefits. Like, seriously, if it wasn't for Facebook, we'd have to call 600 friends every day to let them know how far we jogged. Think about it, you know, or think about the money we'd have to spend on stamps to send all those photos to our friends and family members of the pizza that we ate last night. Think about this. We'd be left wondering. We would be just in the dark about how many of our friends watch The Voice and who they think ought to win. What would we do when our favorite football team is playing and they score a touchdown? Everybody on Facebook needs to know, touchdown! Exclamation, 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 exclamation. You know, if it wasn't for Facebook, we couldn't do some discovery of ourselves. We would never find out what color our personality is, or we wouldn't find out what kind of storm we are. Imagine going through life not knowing what kind of storm you are. I mean, we'd be missing out. Without Facebook, we wouldn't get 10,000 invitations to play weird farming games, okay? We need Facebook. But it also has some drawbacks, like we get 10,000 invitations to play weird farming games, or we get to see other people's exercise regimens, or we feel guilty about the fact that somebody else has 575 friends when we only have 237. You get the idea. Social media can be a wonderful thing, but it also can have some drawbacks, can't it? And actually, social media is not good or bad. It's what we determine with it, what we do with it. We're the ones that determine whether it's good or bad, wholesome or unwholesome, healthy or unhealthy, a blessing or a curse. Yeah, it can be a great thing, but my fear is, and what I'm starting to see happen is, it can hurt relationships. It can rob us from the things that God values most. We may love it, but we need to manage technology and social media appropriately. In John chapter 13, Jesus had just finished washing the disciples' feet, this self-sacrificing act of person-to-person love. And what does he do? He says to them this, "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." You know, what I love about this is not just what he said to do, but what he didn't say. He said, they will know that you are my disciples by the way you love one another. He didn't say, they'll know you're my disciples if you have perfect theology, or if you're always in church, or if you've got the bumper sticker and the fish symbol on the back of your vehicle. What he said was, they're going to know that you're mine. They're going to identify you as being my disciples by the way that you extravagantly love one another. The way we treat one another says more about who we're following than anything else we can put on our car or say about ourselves. Now, with that in mind, think about how is technology changing who we are? How is technology changing our relationships? We know it's helping in some ways, but I'm afraid that there are some unintended negative consequences between technology and deep, lasting relationships. I want to just kind of bring to your attention three things that I think technology, three ways that technology is changing some of our relationships. The first term is this. The term friend is evolving. Have you noticed that? When we used to talk about friends 20 years ago, it was people that we did life with. They were the people that we invited over to our house to have a barbecue, that we hung out with them. We actually did projects together. We went to ball games together. Friends, we bowled with them. We saw them at Little League. We did life together. Now, somebody can be your friend and you don't even know them. You've never met them face to face. They've simply asked to follow you on Facebook. So the term friend is evolving, and maybe not in good ways. Okay? For example, the average American Facebook user has 328 friends. So if you have more than that, you're above average. Okay? Pat yourself on the back. That's a good thing. But the average American that has those 328 Facebook friends can only count two close friends. This is a survey that they did, and most Americans say that they only have two close friends. Somebody they could call in the middle of the night and know that they would be there for them. Here's the shocking and scary figure. 25% of Americans say they have zero close relationships. That's scary to think that we have 328 Facebook friends and zero close friends. You see, we've got lots of online activity, but very limited personal intimacy. God created us for community. God created us for social network, for community, for face-to-face relationships, for meaningful exchanges, and we are losing out on the art of friendship. That's sobering. The second thing I see in the ways of how technology is changing relationships is we're becoming addicted to immediate affirmation. We're becoming addicted to it. If I'm feeling a little bit lonely, all I have to do is pull out my phone, click it, upload it to Instagram or Facebook, and immediately people begin to do what? Like it. Comment about it. You know, somebody will say, "Woo, you're losing weight. What does that do for us?" "Woo, yeah, didn't think so, but I'll take it," you know. Or all of a sudden, we're checking back every 15 minutes, 6 likes, 25 likes, and we become addicted to the fact that people are following us. In fact, scientists are telling us that this releases a chemical called dopamine into our system, and we're becoming addicted to the dopamine from approval. We want to know, what did they say, or what are they saying about my photo? Did they like it or did they not? Who liked it? How many people liked it? Has anyone shared my status with their friendship network? I mean, that really kind of boosts you up if you think about it. Listen, several years ago, I would check Facebook almost every 10 minutes just to see what people were thinking about me. It's changing us, y'all, and we are becoming addicted to the approval. We're becoming addicted to what other people are doing or not doing on our Facebook pages. And scientists said we now have an issue that's called deferred loneliness, where in the immediate we can get that instant gratification, that immediate affirmation through Facebook, but we're delaying that longing for intimacy. You see, we're trading likes, but we're longing for love. We are living for likes, longing for love. We're trading our love for just a few likes here and there. And it's changing the way we're doing relationships. And then lastly, we have the power to do friendships on our own terms. All of a sudden, friendships, we're in the driver's seat. We have the ability to look at the text and either answer it or not, or to press silent and let that person that wants to talk to us go to voicemail. All of a sudden, we have the power to respond to that email or to connect to Facebook or not. how we respond, what we do, all of a sudden we have this position of power. And because we're in complete control of the relationship, the terms of the friendship have started to change as well. In fact, there was a young person recently said, the more I use technology, the more I begin to crave personal interaction. And there are many in that peer group that are just like him. Another person said, I feel more connected than ever, and yet I feel more alone. Another person said, all I do all day is scroll and click and scroll and click. I want something more, but I don't have the discipline to engage in what I really know I want. And I don't know how to get from where I am to where I need to be. Maybe that's somebody here today. You desperately want deeper. You want more. You want better, but you're satisfied. Well, you're unsatisfied, and you're staying with what you know. There with the computer, there with your phone, wanting people, but not knowing how to get there. Today, I want to talk to you just briefly about how we get there from here. In Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25, it says, let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. You know, wouldn't it be amazing if a group of us could get together face to face, that those of us that are following Jesus, and we say to one another, how can we be so extravagant in our love? How can we get so aggressive with loving one another and loving other people that others begin to look at us and say, man, they've got to be Christians because they're doing something completely and totally different. Have you seen the way they love people intentionally and practically? The writer of Hebrews goes on to say, and let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another all the more. You know, we need to rediscover the power of practicing presence, of being together with other people. In fact, Jesus said, wherever two or more are gathered in my name, I will be in the midst of them. You see, something happens when we gather in a setting like this and we're focused on Jesus. Jesus shows up and something powerful happens. We experience the real presence of Christ in a supernatural way. Think about it. When God wanted to say he loved us, what did he do? Did he shout it from heaven? No. What he did was he came to earth to show us love. He didn't shout it from afar, but he became a person and he dwelt among us. He walked around in human skin. He touched people. He loved the unlovable. He lifted people up. He healed those that were broken. He set the captives free. He walked into places and fellowshiped with the ne'er-do-wells and the people that society had written off. He fellowshiped with sinners and prostitutes and even tax collectors. We just celebrated tax day. I thought I'd throw that one in. You know, thank God. That when God wanted to demonstrate his love, he didn't shout it from heaven. He came and he was present with us. And he was in relationship with us. There's something about presence that is powerful. And yet so many times we trade it in for much, much less. So I want to give you today two thoughts. Two very simple thoughts that we can use to switch this around and to change this trend. Are you with me so far? Technology is not good or bad. It's what we do with it. But what it's having is an impact on us, and we need to switch. We need to change. We need to turn the tide. And so I want to give you two simple ways to turn the tide. Okay? The first one is this. Be present. Be present. Be present with one another. In fact, everybody repeat after me, okay? I'll give you the words, and then you can repeat after me. Here it is. I will love people face to face.
I will love people face to face.
And not just thumbs to thumbs.
And not just thumbs to thumbs.
that will transform your relationships. If you will stop doing everything here and start spending some time looking at people in the eye, hearing their heart, discerning where they really are, it will make a major difference in your life. In Romans chapter 12, verse 9, Paul said this, "Don't just pretend to love others. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other." You see, when God's people are in need, we need to be ready not just to quick throw off a text, but to be with them, to really love them, to really listen, and to be present in their lives. Let's think about this. You've got an issue, a family, a friend, someone in your life that you really care about, and they've got an issue going on. Maybe they got bad medical news, or they didn't get into the school they really hoped that they could attend. Maybe they just lost a scholarship, or their relationship is broken up, or they're having trouble in their marriage, whatever it may be. What is kind of the socially acceptable way to respond to them? You just pound out a text, "Hey, just thinking about you." And that's okay. At least they know you've made some touch. You've made some contact. Maybe some of you even go so far as to be bold and to say, "Praying for you." And that's good. But you know what? Because we're followers of Jesus, we ought to take it beyond that. That's what the world does. Even people that are not in church are saying, "Praying for you," all over Facebook. But as Christians, perhaps we could show our love to them and demonstrate kindness and honor them as a person by actually picking up the phone and calling and talking to them person to person. "Hey, how are you doing?" And then we listen to how their voice is stating information. We can read a lot through people by the way they're saying things. And we can actually come up with more questions to ask, and we can follow up and take it much deeper over the phone than we could simply over text, because text messages and emails can be misunderstood. Have you ever been through that? Where something that you intended to say got mistaken and it actually did more damage than good, and you were just simply trying to speak love or speak life into a relationship or a friendship. Conversations can help get over that. And you know what's even better than a conversation? Face-to-face conversation, where you pick up the phone and say, "Hey, can we go do some coffee? I'm really concerned about you. I love you. I appreciate you. I sense that you're struggling." And we sit down over a cup of coffee, or we sit down over pizza that we're going to take a picture of and put up and show people on Facebook what we're eating and stuff like that. But we take it to the next level, where we're really engaged, and that person, we can actually reach across the table if they begin to cry, and we can hold their hand, or we can put a hand on their shoulder, or we can cry with them, and they see that we are moved. We want to be present in relationships. Some of the best ministry I've ever had has not been on Sunday mornings where I'm preaching to a crowd. Some of the best ministries that I've ever had have been beside caskets, not saying a word, but just holding the hand of someone that's just lost their best friend in the world, the person that they've done life with for 40 years, and they don't know what to do. They can't hear anything, and so you just stand. One of the things they taught us in seminary was, don't just say something, stand there. There's times when our presence speaks more loudly than any word that we could ever utter. The fact that we love them and we enter into life in the midst of their darkness, in the midst of their difficulty, their heartache and heartbreak, we're losing that. And we want to reclaim it. And the way we reclaim it is to be present with people. It can mean so, so much. So we need to live in a way that invites people in. Sadly enough, we live in a world that puts walls up around communities, and we've eliminated the front porch where people used to sit on the front porch and talk with their neighbors. We now have garages that we drive into, and we're just shut off and closed off, and we are longing, we are dying for personal intimacy. We need to be present with somebody, and we need to invite them in. That's where change is going to happen. Where we stop doing it at thumb distance and we start doing it where we can wrap our arms around them and embrace them in their hours of need. Some of you, you're longing for something more. And can I tell you, when we agree to be a part of this fellowship, we take some vows. We say, I will be faithful to this group, and I will support it with my prayers, my presence, my gifts, my service, and my witness. We say that we will be here with each other and for each other. And those of you who may be feeling like you're missing something, that there's got to be something more spiritually, can I just tell you, Christ has got a community here wanting and waiting to love on you. If you've been craving people, if you've been craving connection, this is the place where we're all messed up here. If I could change the name of our church, if I could I would call it the messy place of grace. Because we're all messed up. We're all on the same level. We're just trying to figure this life out and do it in a way that honors Christ and that He comes and lives in us and transforms everything so that we can invite others into that same messy place of grace. But we've got small groups. There's a small group that meets over across the way here in this facility. It's called the Pub Group. People Understanding the Bible. They do life together. They laugh with each other. They cry with each other. They study the Word of God and they challenge each other to be Jesus followers. If you're missing out on life, if you're wanting desperately to have something more, plug in. And if that doesn't work for you, we've got groups that meet throughout the week in homes and in other places. I would love to help you get plugged in. And then two, besides being present and engaged with one another, here's what we are present. We need to be engaged. That's number two. Be engaged. Not just physically present, but emotionally and completely engaged and present. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8, it says this: continue to show deep love for one another. You see, where that person that's in the room with us or across the table is the most important person in the world. They're with us face to face. They deserve our undivided attention. Today, if you go out for lunch, I want you to do this. Look at everybody else in the restaurant. My suspicion would be that as you go, there will be people eating together who are not talking. There may be five people at a table and they're all this. They're not looking up. They're not engaging one another. They're doing this. And the odd thing is they might be texting one another. I don't know. But think about this. How rude was it when I came up here and you were giving me your time, you were giving me your attention, and I stopped at the beginning to look at my phone and ignore that you were even in the place. Or that I started doing my own thing, wanting to do a Facebook photo of you, and that became the most important thing. Think about it. If you and I went out for coffee later on, and I said to this, I want to hear about you. Tell me your story. And you began to talk, and I reached down into my book bag, and I pull out a book, and I read a couple pages. And you're just talking and I'm reading and I put the book away and I put it down and I look back up to you and I say, oh yeah, keep going. Tell me some more. And so you keep going deeper in your life and in your story. And then I reach down and I pull out my calendar and I start planning my week and looking at my to-do list and where I need to go after this meeting. And you're trying to pour your heart out and you're really being honest about things and I'm just disengaged. And then in the midst of your conversation, I just get up, I leave the table, and I go over and I start talking to somebody else at another table. What would you think? Are you crazy, dude? We're here. You ask me to talk to you. You asking me questions, and you're not even caring about the responses that I give. And yet we do that every day, don't we? As we engage people, and then we get a text message. oh, hold on a second. And we answer the text, or people are talking, and then we get a notification about something we're supposed to be at, and we begin to look at our calendar. Or we get a phone call, and we step away from the table with the person that's right there, and we begin a totally and separate conversation. You see, every time the phone rings or chirps or beeps, it's an interruption, isn't it? And what is happening is there's a new word that just hit the dictionary. I didn't realize this, but there's a new word that hit the dictionary. FOMO. F-O-M-O. And it stands for the fear of missing out. There's a whole generation out there that's wondering what they're missing out on in the moment. You know, at the end of our lives, it's not going to matter how many likes we've got or how many text messages we respond to. But it is going to be important, and it needs to show how much love we showed to others, how many people we cared about and listened to. Listen, parents, your children are starving for your attention. You need to stop and listen to what they're saying. And I'm preaching to myself, okay? Landon, you saw him get up and walk out. Every night he is saying, Daddy, look at this. Hey, Dad, watch that. Dad, Dad, Dad. And you know what I tend to do? I get home from work and I unplug and I play stupid games that at the end of my life, God is not going to say, what was your high score on free fall? God's going to ask me, how did you love and value the gift that I gave you and your son and your daughter? Parents, we need to get off of Facebook, and we need to get our eyes off the screen, and we need to start looking at the person that's in front of us and stop missing out on our child because they're growing up and we're missing out. I'm missing out. Maybe I should just say it that way. They're right there, but our attention is diverted because we're not engaged. I'm afraid we might be missing out on what matters most. So maybe we need to change some things. Maybe we need to set some ground rules for Facebook or for our phones and our technology. Maybe they need to be set down at a time during the night and they're not picked back up. Or maybe there's times when it's just, we're not going to go there. We're not going to do that. We're going to be engaged and present. Maybe when we go out to coffee with somebody, we leave this in the vehicle. Yeah, there was a time before we had cell phones that people wanted to get in touch with us. They had to call the house phone or the office phone. The rest of the time was our time to spend it with people we loved. Maybe we need to reclaim that. 1 John 3:8 says this, Dear children, let us not merely say that we love one another. Let us show the truth by our actions. And our actions with this speak louder than words. If we put it down and we start really being present and being engaged with people that are around us, they're going to notice. They will notice. Jesus said it this way, they will know that you are my disciples by the way you love one another. They will not know that we're disciples by how many followers we have, how many emails we respond to, how many likes we have on Facebook, how many times people share our witticisms from one to another. But they will know and they will sense our love when we get involved in their lives in meaningful ways and we care for them at the depth of who they are and we open up our heart and we do life with them. That's what people need. That's what people deserve. That's what we're craving for. So let's go out there and get it. You with me on that? Let's start a revolution where we're not living life for likes on Facebook or longing for more love. Let's just go out there and start doing it. Let's refuse to be a slave to the screen, to the technology of the day. Let's start being lovers of people and leverage technology to do good and to bless people, but let's not leave it there. Let's take it to the next step. Listen, let's not let technology replace intimacy. That's not God's design. That's not God's desire. Because when God showed us love, he gave us an example. He didn't shout it from afar. He came and he showed it in the flesh. I pray that we'll be the same sort of people that we will be with one another and for one another, and that we will be engaged and we will be present so that the world may know how different life can be when we do it together. Would you pray with me today? Lord, I thank you for your word, and I thank you that you came and you shared it with us, that you spoke your word as you walked this sod. Lord, help us to be people who walk with one another, that demonstrate love by our actions, who turn off and unplug in order to plug in to what is really and truly most important. Lord, I pray for all the relationships we have. I pray that they would go deeper, that we would have not even but scratched the tip of the iceberg of what you have in store for us. I speak healing. I speak blessing over each and every person that's here today. And I pray, God, that we would live lives that reflect your commitment to us. We love you today and thank you, God, that you're here with us and for us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.